And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for GSU Panther Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York, joining you once again. I know we're normally supposed to be on Wednesdays at 7. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum, right? About Tuesday afternoon, the old trusty laptop that we have ran everything on since the very beginning and even the things we did before this, decided it didn't want to perform properly, didn't want to work anymore. I quickly diagnosed the problem, given the screenshots that I sent to friends of mine who are a lot more tech savvy than I am. They said, yes, I could get it to get fixed. I could take it to get fixed. Who knows what will happen? You know, they should be able to get it fixed. Could take a couple days. All right, it was Tuesday afternoon. I also say, well, I was planning on upgrading anyway. I have some money set aside. Why not get a new one? So, we've got a new one. We've got a brand new setup here. Brand new laptop we're running a lot of stuff on. And, you know, we did Falcon Zone on from the maiden voyage of the new setup last night. Everything seemed to go pretty swimmingly. So I imagine this one will go just as well. So, live here at 5 o'clock, it's GSU Panther Zone. Today, obviously, I named the show False Start. The reason I called it False Start is because I feel like we were just couldn't quite get out of the blocks fast enough to really get going. We did score 14 points in the first half. I was pretty excited about that. But half of it was defense, which is fine. I mean, I have no problem with the defense scoring. It just seemed like we never could quite get established with the whole thing. We were playing catch-up from the beginning. It's like if you're at a drag strip, you just got treed. The guy on beside you that you happen to be racing just absolutely beat you off the line. It's hard to catch up when you start behind like that. For the most part, it seemed like our defense stayed on the field way too much. I believe it was 81 plays. Is that sound right? Let me see. 81 plays that our defense was on the field. That's just way too many. That's way too many. They're just gassing me, and I can't fault them whatsoever for, you know, not being able to stay out there and stay 100% at 81 plays. That's like running a marathon. As soon as you get done, turn around and run another one. As soon as you get out and done with that one, you try to run another one, and your times keep getting slower and slower. Well, your body can only contain so much. Even the best athletes, even NFL guys, you can only take so much. NFL guys, they're not going to sit out there 81 plays either. They're going to hopefully get subbed in and out. But, I mean, after a while, everybody's gassed. It happens. Before I get a little more into kind of the breakdown of the loss, the opening loss to the Ball State Cardinals, who did play a pretty good game. You know, a little bit later on, we'll talk about some alumni news, and I'm actually going to break down Air Force as far as some of their bigger players on offense, a few on defense as well, and I'm going to give you the game plan on how I believe we can beat them. I do think it's possible. But let's go back into that game against Ball State. Now, at this point, you know, the running joke was it was going to be about 12 or 13 minutes into the game before we would know exactly who the starting quarterback was going to be. Was it going to be Aaron Winchester, who had a just spectacular spring game and spring? Was it going to be Connor Manning, who has practiced pretty well here lately? Well, the opening introductions, it was quite funny, actually. When it got to the quarterback position, it said, and your starting quarterback, Connor Manning, or Aaron Winchester. So, you know, Coach even got us on that one. That was pretty good. But game starts off, you know, like I said, the over-under, we were setting around 7-10. Hopefully you took the over. Ball State started with the ball. He can stand tall and throw. Later on, they realized all they had to do was keep running. He threw his His first interception pretty early, I believe the second or third play of the game. Jerome Smith picked it off, number 16, of course. Shaw had the hit on the quarterback that helped set all this up. Kind of like last night's NFL game. Even the best quarterbacks, once you get hit, that ball can float on you. Ended up being a pick six, took it all the way back to the house. We were up 7-0. Only 13:48 into the game. Of course, there was another interception. It was tipped, and then Jerome Smith was able to pick it up there. Jerome Smith ended up with two. At one point, we thought maybe he could beat Bobby Baker's five record from last year. Then the starter was named. That was Connor Manning. And Connor, for the most part, I'll give him credit. He hung in there because everything they saw on film from Ball State, everything they had heard from the offseason, everything they studied, was the polar opposite of everything Ball State did. This makes two games in a row that this happened because of the bowl game down in Orlando against San Jose State, the same thing happened. Hey, it happens in sports. Sometimes you can prepare everything in the world thinking you know the tendencies, and they go the other direction. But I did like the aggression early by Georgia State and Coach Miles. At one point, there was a three tight end set, and then there was kind of a wildcat set that they tried to do to convert the first down where Amir Scaife was the quarterback. Tight end Amir Scaife that used to be a quarterback in the system, or technically kind of is. I guess he still plays both. And when we asked Coach about this at the press conference afterwards, he said that was not a designed run. Although it did look like, that we were tipping our hand that it was going to be a run play with Amir, it was not a designed run. It's just the play kind of was starting to fall apart, and Amir did the best he could and tried to pick up yards. It happens. Our defense was actually doing pretty well to start with. Like I said, I think they just tired out. It happens. I mean, you can only take so much. It happens. We had the ball at one point. Glenn Smith was starting to run pretty decent, and then he fumbled the ball. Ball State was able to pick that up. Ball State uses the sign method, as I call it, where all their plays, especially offense, have to do with particular signs, like crowd signs, ones you would make. But whoever the active person was would come up towards the sideline. They would hold that particular sign, and that would tell them what play or what type of play to run. One in particular, they had a Colts sign on there, which I thought was pretty interesting. Given that they're from Muncie, Indiana, it's not far from Indianapolis, so maybe that was an ode to them. A lot of their passes from their quarterback, Riley Neal, were tipped up in the air by Georgia State. We were getting early pressure, and the defensive line rule that I always heard, I say it all the time, if you can't get to the quarterback, get your hands up, try to knock it down, try to tip it up in the air, and that's kind of what happened a few times. But for a team that we thought were going to stand in the pocket, stand tall and throw and throw a lot, they didn't do that. In fact, Ball State has 52 run plays for a total of 325 yards. Now, on the contrary, we had 25 rush plays for 77 yards. I think at halftime we had negative two rushing. The rush game was just not able to get out of the blocks. That's the easiest way to say it. Like it's a race at the Olympics or something. Gun goes off, our shoes are still glued to the starting block. That's what it kind of felt like. It was hard to really get the ball rolling, and by the time it did, it was just a little too late. Now, at one point, Connor Manning was taken out. This was in the fourth quarter. A decision that Coach Miles was considering, if it was the time to do it. He's never said there's a definite starter. He said, the thought all along is to be able to interchange either one of them depending on what they're trying to do. Aaron Winchester came in the game for the fourth quarter and threw a couple passes, but for the most part was really in and did a lot of runs. From what coach said, it's just the same thing as the Amir play. When the plays would break down and no one was open, Aaron would take off and pick up some yards here and there. He actually rushed for a touchdown towards the end that brought us within 10. But ultimately, we lose the game 31-21. I'm pretty excited we scored 21 points. Not that excited that we lost. In fact, I'm not excited at all that we've lost. But Ball State's a good team. I will definitely give them that. I think they played pretty good, and we got tired, is what it is. Some numbers from the game. Aaron Winchester was the leading rusher. He had 8 rushes for 59 yards. Glenn Smith had 8 rushes for 14. Kendrick Dorn and DeMarcus Kirk had some in there as well as Kyler Neal. Aaron Winchester was 4 for 8 for 32 yards, as long as being an 18-yarder. And Connor Manning, the starter, was 21 for 32 with one interception, 163 yards, longest throw being a 24-yard play, and he was sacked once. Basically, what most defenses would teach you early is to rush the A-gaps. The A-gaps are basic rush 101. Not saying everybody can pull it off. You do have to have the right personnel. The A-gap. At first, if you start at the center, if you're running to the right or left, to did. They were opening up those A-gaps, and two of their three linebackers on almost every play were flat out rushing as fast as they can. Connor only had a few seconds to make throws, and a lot of times the plays haven't developed yet. The guys wouldn't be in position. There was a few miscues where he would throw to one spot, the receiver would be in another. I just think it's communication stuff they got to work on. You know, things like, I don't think it was all that bad except for the loss. It wasn't as bad as people had planned it out to be. And, you know, hey, your opinion's your opinion. But on my show, my opinion is it wasn't nearly as bad as people think. Now, I asked Coach Miles what he thought the biggest issue was for the game. Was it the mental mistakes? Was it consistently stopping the run, or was it something else? He said he thought, you know, kind of a combination of them all, but the fact that they couldn't consistently stop the run, it allowed them to run all over us. You know, like I said, they had 52 run plays for 325 yards. That's flat out domination. And it wasn't that the lines were overmatched. Like I said, they kept pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding, and finally the wall breaks. It's like jumping up and down on a tree branch. At some point, it's going to give way. And that's what happened. Also, I asked him about a special teams assessment about how he thought they performed. He said he thought they did well. He agreed that on any punt or kick return, that when we kicked the ball, that we were able to stop them from having any big returns. There was a couple miscues in the punting game. I felt like the punter, and he did as well, was able to capitalize on that as far as fixing it, not making it worse than it was, including him taking a shot at one point, but he did get the ball away. So kudos to him on that. Field goal game is on point as Rohier 10 Lowhouse is just a phenomenal kicker. I'm not sure how far he can kick a ball, but I would love to be there to find out. Maybe I'll ask him one day. Who knows? And also it was asked about Mackenzie Cherador, who was helped off the field at one point. He said it's a high ankle sprain. He didn't know any more at the time about it. And from everything I've heard up to this point, good chance he'll play in the game. against Air Force. But at the same time, nothing's completely concrete. Now, Jerome Smith was also at the press conference. We asked him what he thought he could improve on from tonight's performance. And we also congratulated him on the turnovers and the overall game he had. He echoed what Bobby Baker said at this time last year. All the personal stats are great, but it's about getting that win. So, thanks for the acknowledgement of the things he did do, but he wished he could have done a few more. Said he felt like he could be a better leader, and just, even though they're in great shape, he didn't like the feeling of wearing down. Like I said, just echoes, we thought they got a little tired. Had nothing to do with the play call or nothing like that. It's just they got tired. They got tired. It happens. He said that Coach Minner called good plays where he was in a good area to make good plays. And that was, that was also his assessment of the pick six he had. He just said, based off Coach Minner's plays, it put him in a good situation where he could capitalize on the mistake, and he was able to score and put points on the board. And also, we did a kind of a roundtable thing where you guys saw the pictures, some of the pictures I took there of Aaron Winchester at one table and Connor Manning at another. As far as everything going forward, Connor's kind of soft-spoken anyway, and Aaron's a little louder. He's a little normal talking. Has nothing to do with character or nothing like that. I'm firmly behind. I'm confident. Maybe I'm more confident than Coach Miles, but I believe that whether it's Aaron, whether it's Connor, I believe in either one of these guys to be the leaders on the offense, to be able to continue to go out and do better things. And, I'm not worried about it. A lot of people are like, well, we should immediately start Aaron. Not necessarily. Well, maybe, maybe Connor should work on this. Hey, he's going to work on what he needs to work on. It's, good for you guys that you have assessments. And those assessments can probably help these players as well. But like I said, I have all the confidence in the world that Connor Manning is going to live to see another day and more than likely start against Air Force. That would be my guess. That's a complete guess. I don't know anything from Coach Miles as far as that decision. But if it's Aaron, it's Aaron. If it's Connor, it's Connor. Either way, hey, I support him as the quarterback of this team, and you guys should too. Now, I do want to talk about Air Force. So shift gears here. I want to talk about Air Force and some of the good players they have, because they have a lot. They have a lot of good talent. Let's start with the defense. Talking about people like Jack Floor and Ryan Watson. Ryan Watson, the defensive end, of course, and sure where Floor plays exactly, but we'll look for that. Anyway, there's some of the big tacklers. You got Brody Hicks. At the free safety spot, you got Steelhammer that's over there at the strong safety spot. For one, that's an awesome name. Steelhammer. That's just the last name. That's awesome. But, talk about this offense. Because the defense, from looking at it, they had 2 sacks, each of them for 4 yards, probably coverage sacks in the back, had a couple tackles for loss. They're more about coverage, at least from my assessment. They're more about coverage and containment. Think Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple years ago. That's my assessment. I could be totally off of that, but either way. Some of the big playmakers they have on the offense, we'll start with quarterback. Their starting quarterback is Nate Romine. He was 5 for 10 for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he was actually sacked once. 5 for 10 Five passes that he threw for over 184 yards, his longest being 62, and the two touchdowns. So clearly, they didn't throw a whole lot. Probably had a lot to do with running the score up a little bit. It wasn't too bad. They only won the game. What was that? 29-16. But when you look at the stats, I don't think it was that close. Five passes though. They went for on average what, five? No, more than that. Closer to probably at 37, 38 yards per pass attempt, pretty much. Or per pass. Arian Worthman also threw a pass. He was 1 for 1 for 17 yards and a touchdown. Some of the big guys they have at the receiving core. Ryan Reffitt had two catches for 70 yards and a touchdown, including the 62-yarder I previously mentioned. He was targeted five times. 2 out of 5 ain't bad. Robinette, don't know his first name. Robinette had two catches out of three targets for 28 yards and a touchdown. You had Cleveland, who had a catch. Was only targeted the one time anyway, 62 yards. He had two 62-yard plays for a touchdown. Tyler Williams had a catch for 41 yards. The lone field goal they kicked for 26 yards was good by Luke Strabel. Now, to the rushing attack, because they run the triple option. If you're not familiar with the triple option, look up Georgia Tech, especially recently. It is where you have two to three running backs in the backfield, and between them and the quarterback, there are various different ways. Green Bay kind of did a similar thing a couple years ago. But it's about misdirection and a lot of ball fakes as to who actually has the ball and which direction they're going. Jacoby Owens, one of their top rushers, he was top yardage-wise. 12 carries for 119 yards. That's a 9.9 average per attempt. Guy's pretty good. DJ Johnson, 17 carries for 63 yards. Shane DeVern, 14 carries for 57 yards. Here's Cleveland again. He had 48 yards. Parker Wilson had 44. Tyler Williams had 40. Tim McVay had 21. Nate Romine, the quarterback, on his rushes, 7 rushes for 13 yards. I mean, any one of these guys can bust out. They probably start doing like a lot of teams, and when things start to go well, you start to sub in people left and right. They really love to run the ball, clearly. I don't think there's any sneaking around about it. I don't think at any point they're fooling anybody. They're going to flat out run the ball, and they're going to run it down our throats. The same thing Ball State did last week. So, obviously, my three keys. Part of the game plan here, my three keys to beating Air Force and the triple option this weekend. First of all, I'm not just going to say, well, we've got to stop the run game. No, it's more complex than that. Number one, we have to clog up the running lanes so that the triple option has nowhere to go. That's one of the top ways to stop it. If there's no running lane, they can't go anywhere. So we're going to clog up. We're going to clog up the running lanes. Number two, I think we should leave somebody kind of as a spy on the backside. Let's say the line's going to pull heavily to the left and right, the offensive line. So let's say if you're looking at the line, they pull to the right and everything moves to the right. Well, we got to leave somebody back on the left side because it's going to be pretty much one-on-one coverage between the corners with maybe a safety over the top. We need to leave somebody, whether it's that same safety, whether it's Bobby Baker, whether it's one of the linebackers, leave somebody on the other side or at least paying attention to the other side in case it's misdirection and they take off with a reverse so that somebody's over there. So we need to clog up the run lanes. We need to keep that spy around in case of a misdirection to the other side. And then we just got to calm down on offense. Just calm down. Trust the plays. Trust yourself, your skills. Establish a run a little bit. If we're not establishing the run and they're not putting heavy pressure on us real quick like that, then we can open up the pass game and really let Connor or Aaron sling the ball. Make some good decisions. If we do have to go fast again, because maybe they're running up the A gap again. I hope we can stop the A gap. But if they're running up the A gap or the B gap, which is between the guards and tackles, I think there's a C gap. I think it's around the tackles, but you don't hear it much. If we can stop that initial rush or even slow it down for a few minutes and give Connor, give Aaron, give Amir, give whoever the quarterback is, time to make the reads, find the open guy, find people like Keith Rucker, Robert Davis, Penny Hart, find the Todd Boyd, these big-time guys we got, Ari Wirtz, Bill Technip. Find Kyler Neal out of the backfield. Find Glenn Smith. Any of these guys. To me, that's the three things we can do to ensure a victory. And it's not, if we do these three things, we should win. I'm not saying it's absolutely, I mean, could be a one-point loss even. I hope it's not. Hope we win at least one of these next three games. All of them are pretty quick. And they're fast. So, to review. On defense, we need to clog up the run lanes so that this triple option has nowhere to go. Can't even get out of the blocks itself. We need to keep a spy on the backside in case they reverse this and come the opposite directions. And on offense, we just need to calm down. Stay with the basics. Stay with what you know. Stay with what you've been doing in practice. Everything you've been working on. Just stay calm. Make good decisions. And I think we're going to be good. I think we're absolutely going to be good. Now, I told you guys, there was some alumni news, which there's some good alumni news on. I mentioned it last night, so if you heard this story last night, I apologize, you're about to hear it again. Now, let's see here. I don't quite have it in front of me here. There it is. Now, you guys are aware that there are two players currently in the NFL who are on the 53-man rosters. They came from Georgia State. There is Chiefs wide receiver Albert Wilson. There is Dolphins offensive lineman Ulrich John. I think you guys remember him. Just recently got married. Congratulations again. And now, there's another one. Will Lutz, the kicker punter extraordinaire. Just gave him our social media shout out for the show. Appreciate his contributions as well. Maybe we can get him on here sometime in the near future. He's going to be quite busy. Now, the other day, he had sent out the social media message that he was signing to the Saints practice squad. Well, the Saints decided that, no, instead of signing to that, why don't you sign to the 53-man roster? He's like, okay, great. Signs to the 53-man roster. Now, Kai Forbath was their kicker. Coming into this, he had won the battle over the camp. And from what Coach Sean Payton said, they weren't looking to add a kicker or a punter, but Will blew them away so much with his workout, they've never seen a show basically put on the way he did, see his work ethic, see the way he does things, and the types of abilities he was able to showcase. They made the decision to let Kai Forbath go. And replaced him with Will. So now Will is the starting kicker for the New Orleans Saints. So congratulations to you, Will. Wish you all the best in the world. Hopefully, and we all pray, hope, pray, and I'm knocking on wood, hopefully you're still with the Saints by the end of the season, because the Saints' last game is in the Georgia Dome. And I think it would be really cool for you to come back and play against the hometown team, the Atlanta Falcons, in the dome where you played your college career. I think it'd be a really cool homecoming. Maybe we could get something going with that. That'd be really cool. But so that's three Georgia State Panthers that are now in the NFL. I think that is absolutely fabulous. And that's actually going to do it for us this week. So thanks for joining us here on GSU Panther Zone. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next Wednesday at 7, I promise, for GSU Panther Zone. Go Panthers!
That much.